The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 10, Text Number 27, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 15, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 10, Text Number 27. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Utsis rikshor datu malang nirabid yattavai gudam tatapayustato mitra utsarga upayashriyaha. Thereafter, when he desired to evacuate the refuse of eatables, the evacuating hole, anus, and the sensory organ thereof developed along with the controlling deity, Mitra. The sensory organ and the evacuating substance are both under the shelter of the controlling deity, Purpur. Even in the matter of evacuating stool, the refuse is controlled. So how can the living entity claim to be independent? Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, today's verse is about passing stool. And the deity. Yes, today's verse is about passing stool and the deity who controls the passing of stool. So, what is the transcendental significance of this, one may ask? Passing stool, after all, is a very, very mundane activity, you see. So, because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand the transcendental significance of this verse about passing stool. Prabhupada's point is very simple. That if even in the matter of passing stool, we are under the control of higher authorities, then how we can claim to be independent? Just like sometimes somebody becomes constipated, you see. They want to pass stool, but they're not able to pass stool. And it's a great source of anxiety for them, you see. And sometimes someone doesn't want a bestool, and they uncontrollably bestool. Just like when devotees visit India, they get diarrhea. They call it the runs. So, the passing of stool, it is a very problematic situation. Can be, if one is not able to pass stool, that is a problem. If one is uncontrollably passing stool, that is also a problem. And sometimes it is so much of a problem that people actually, they have some surgery and they have a little bag that the stool comes into the bag and they're not able to pass it through the anus. It's very gross actually. So it is a great problem. So we are very much dependent on Mitra. It's all up to Mitra whether we can pass stool or not. And Mitra is under the control of Krishna. So instead of doing puja to Mitra, we should simply surrender fully to Krishna. And then everything becomes properly adjusted. A devotee develops good health actually by following the principles of sadhana bhakti. He naturally develops good health. By following the injunction of the Bhagavad Gita, he becomes very healthy. Yukta hara vihara sha, yukta cheshtasya karma shu, yukta sapnava bodha sha, yoga bhavati dukkaha. That one who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation, he can mitigate all material suffering by practicing the yoga system. So, simply by taking up Krishna consciousness, then naturally Mitra will cooperate. He is a devotee of God after all, so he will cooperate nicely. And he will facilitate the good health of the devotee. So if we, in this way, we have to, instead of trying to directly worship the demigods for this purpose and that purpose, we should simply worship Krishna. I mean, who would want to go to Mitra Loka and be a devotee of Mitra, the stool god? Krishna says that Yanti Deva Vrata Devam Patrindyanti Prati Vrata Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Madhya Jinopimam. The worships of the demigods, yanti, they go to the demigods, you see. So, one should not worship the deity Mitra for solving his evacuation problems. Because at the time of death, then you may think of Mitra. And you may go to Mitra. One should simply fix one's consciousness on Krishna. Yanti mad yajinopimam. Krishna says, those who worship me, they will live with me. So, the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to convince the people not to worship the demigods. Don't put your hand in your mouth. It's dirty. Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada said the mouth is dirty like the anus. Very dirty thing. So anyway, if we can nicely worship Krishna, following the rules and regulations of the Bhakti Yoga system, under the instruction of our spiritual master, then we will enter into that wonderful abode, Goloka Vrindavan, where all the walking is dancing, and all the talking is singing. We get out of this world and we have to worry about things like passing stool. It's such a botheration, you know. Especially in the winter. You're comfortably situated, you know. You're warm, you got your sweater and your chadar, and you're comfortably situated. And then you have to evacuate. You have to go through the whole thing, taking off your clothes and showering and in the middle of your service, you know. It's such a botheration. But you can't neglect it, you see. When the urge comes for evacuation, one must go to the toilet room. You cannot avoid it. It is called vegam, urge, pushing. So, we have been controlled by these vegams for thousands and millions of lifetimes. It's an embarrassing position for the living entity to be controlled by the vegams. So there's only one way to get out of the control of these vegams. And that is to become purely absorbed in Krishna Bhakti. If we will take to this pathway of Krishna Bhakti, this will be our last lifetime in this material world. So let's go for it. Let's really do that. Let's say goodbye to these vegams by utilizing our every thought, our every word, and our every deed in Krishna's service. This will give us unlimited happiness. And we will find ourselves in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Everything is clearly understood. So you can translate the question. Your devotees especially are carried away by the tongue and the genitals. It's been the downfall of many a brahmachari, many a householder. Even we see the sannyasis also sometimes fall down because of the tongue and the genitals. So how do we conquer over the tongue and the genitals? This is a very important thing. It's very simple, actually. All you have to do is engage your tongue and your genitals in the service of Krishna. Then immediately you conquer them. Your tongue should only be used for glorifying Lord Krishna and for tasting Krishna prasadam. And your genitals should only be used for producing Krishna conscious children and for nothing else. That's why even house odors are not allowed to have unrestricted sex. If anyone in any ashram utilizes the genitals for any other purpose than for begetting Krishna conscious children, that is illicit sex. This principle is not being fully understood at the present time in ISKCON. And devotees are utilizing, so we have to... Huh? So we have this has to be... Sometimes things are not properly understood in our society. One time I asked Prabhupada a question. And he said, I've already instructed on this matter. I don't know why it's not being understood. So even though it's clearly stated that one should only use the genitals for producing Krishna conscious children, the householders are thinking that they can utilize the genitals for recreation. So, this is a big mistake and this must be stopped. Otherwise it will ruin our movement. So,
I didn't hear properly your sentence. What exactly the householders think?
Yes, some householders have the idea that if you're married, you can have sex without restriction. It's okay. But our principle clearly is that the genitals should only be used for producing Krishna conscious children. If we violate this principle of only using the genitals for producing Krishna conscious children and only using the tongue for Krishna prasadam, then we will remain in the grips of the material nature. So it's up to the leaders to educate the members of our society. Leaders means the GBC, the sannyasis, the gurus, and the temple presidents. It's up to them to educate the members of the society properly on this principle. So now I can ask if there's any further questions. Yes, Prabhu.
I can repeat it for you.
I'm doing okay so far.
Why does the Lord appears in his desire to evacuate?
Why does the Lord appears in his desire to evacuate?
Why does the Lord appear?
Means why does Lord has it he's appears? It appears that why does the Lord has a desire to evacuate?
Oh, who is the he? Yeah, it directly states here when he desired to evacuate. Right. Why does the Lord have the desire to evacuate?
He hasn't finished it yet.
Stated that the body of the Lord doesn't have any beings, any bones.
The body of the Lord, because in Isha Upanishad it is mentioned that the body of the Lord doesn't have any veins or blood vessels or things like that.
Right. That's a good question. This particular body that's being described, is mentioned in text 15. From the sky situated within the transcendental body, the manifesting Mahavishnu. In other words, there's different forms of Krishna. I'd have to really study this chapter in detail. Who is this? Which form is being spoken of here? Is this the universal form? What form is being spoken of here? That has to be researched. But we do know that Krishna did pass urine. Krishna wasn't obliged to pass urine, like we are obliged. But he used to do it to taunt the neighbors. To harass the neighbors. He would pass urine in their houses. So it's reasonable to think that if Krishna can pass urine, he can also pass stool. He doesn't need to, though, you see. We know that he passed urine, we've heard that in the Shastra. So if Krishna indeed does pass stool, which is likely since he passes urine, he's not obliged to pass stool like we are. In fact, there's an incarnation of Krishna named Rishabhadev. Oh. Okay, there is an incarnation of Krishna who is famous for passing stool. His name is Rishabhadev. His stool was not ordinary stool. His stool was aromatic. It did not smell bad. In fact, it was so aromatic, the whole countryside for many miles around had become very pleasing because of his stool. So, Krishna's, when God passes stool and when we pass stool, it's two different things. He is not obliged to pass stool as we are obliged to pass stool. It is simply part of his lila. Does that answer your question properly? You're satisfied with the answer?
Almost.
All right. What is not satisfied, and I will try to satisfy that.
He's saying that maybe this desire of the Lord to pass through is because in his universal form, as the Lord is in his universal form, and it appears because the Lord, maybe the Lord, want, it is needed for the universe.
He says that maybe this is a universal form of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he is desiring this so for the purpose of creation and universal need.
Yeah, it reminds me, when I read these descriptions, it also reminds me of the universal form. But I would to answer authoritatively exactly which form is described here, I would have to do further research. I don't want to speculate.
Mahavishnu form. No. It's a Mahavishnu form from whom everything emanates. All the origin happens from Mahavishnu.
Let me give the class. In text 20, it is stated that the Supreme Purusha, when the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odors, the nostrils and respiration were generated. So that means the Supreme Person. So I would suggest you do a detailed study of this chapter. Maybe in one of the purports, the point would come out. Here is in text 17. It says the process by which all living beings in the womb of the mother develop their sense organs and sense perceptions appears to follow. Look in text 17.
Chapter 10.
Same chapter. 10:17 purport. Okay.
It is in the purport?
Purport for 10:17.
Yeah.
It says that the same principles in the case of the Virat Purusha is the universal form. Virata Rupa or Virat Purusha. the universal form. So from this we can get, so this gives the idea that it is talking about the Virat Rupa.
Yeah.
It's the only place I've seen it directly stated here in this chapter, but here it directly says Virat, which we know is this Virat Rupa. Same thing. So Krishna in his original form does not require any of these bodily activities. And whenever he or any of his various expanded forms exhibit such activities, it is simply pastime, that's all. So are there any other questions? Yes.
Happens that we have these urges, like when we are on the altar, we have clean clothes, we are doing some service. So how to control these urges so that we don't do it now immediately, but a little bit later, and at the same time to not offense, to not misuse the body, to not make some offense to.
You have to know how your body operates because you're seeing how your body operates. So you have to regulate your eating of foodstuffs and your drinking of water so that you don't get nature's call when you're on the altar. I remember one brahmachari, he was right in the middle of the arti. And he had to run off the altar to the toilet room in the middle of offering the arti. But that's not the right thing, you see. In great desperation, he ran to the toilet room in the middle of the arti. Yes. That's also there. It's up to Mitra. And then the other, there's a demigod for the urine also. I don't know his name. I don't know. So, you do your best to regulate it. And then you just have to hold it otherwise. Sometimes pujaris have to suffer. Their bladder may be screaming at them. The urine, the bladder means the desire, the organ for passing urine may become screaming at them. But you have to just sometimes tolerate the screaming of your sense organs to go on with the service. But try to evacuate before you take your bath. So everything will be relieved. And just study as best you can how your body operates so you know not to drink water at a certain time if it's going to interfere with your puja. Any other questions? Yes.
Srila Gurudev, in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, we have no love for Krishna, but we understand that He loves us. And therefore, we try to reciprocate and develop our love for Him by serving Him. So, and we know that by doing this, we will gradually purify ourselves and become lovers of Him. So, this mood is favorable, but what moods are unfavorable?
Are unfavorable?
Moods.
What moods are unfavorable? Can you translate it, Jess?
Знаем, что в начале на Кришне сознание наше то настроение не е такова, че ние обичаме Кришна, но в същото време знаем, че Кришна нас не обича и затова ние правим всичко възможно да му служим, за да придобием това настроение, че ние обичаме Кришна. И ние знаем, че това е добре да правим. Това настроение е добро. Да действаме по такъв начин, че да го обикнем.
There are many varieties of unfavorable moods. But the someone who's coming to Krishna consciousness, what you have to watch out for is trying to use Krishna as your order supplier. Yeah, order supplier. They give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Don't try to make Krishna into your servant. This is why the neophyte should not utter his own prayers, but he should utter the prayers of the acharyas. And then once he has learned the mood of the acharyas, then he can compose his own prayers. Basically, we have to always pray for pure bhakti. If I pray for my dear Lord, please give me this arrangement and that arrangement, that means we don't understand the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says, if you just cultivate pure bhakti, I will make all your arrangements for you. So to waste your energy on praying for your own situation is stupid. It's a stupid waste. It's a stupid waste of time. You could have been cultivating pure bhakti. But instead you're asking Krishna to make arrangements for you. One should simply pray, my dear Lord, please arrange my life in such a way that I can fully surrender unto you. That's it. My dear Lord, you understand much better than me what's good for me. So my Lord, you kindly arrange for me what is best for my surrendering at your lotus feet. This is the way we should pray. Any other mood besides that is unfavorable. And should be rejected. Kicked out. Any other questions? Yeah. The best prayer? Well, the very, according to the Kali Santarana Upanishad, the very, 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 very best prayer is this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Because you were simply praying, my dear Lord and my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your pure devotional service. That is Maha prayer. Yes. There is no need for any other prayer, that's a fact. But our acharyas, they have given, at the same time, Lord Chaitanya has given 8 prayers also, Shikshastaka. Queen Kunti has given a whole chapter of prayers, prayers by Queen Kunti. The prayers of the great acharyas are non-different from Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If your mind can become fully absorbed 24 hours in chanting Hare Krishna, you don't need any other prayer, that's a thing. But some devotees, they experience that their mind wanders away from Krishna Hare Krishna Mantra sometimes. They find that by utilizing these other prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Queen Kunti Devi, and other great acharyas, that it helps them come back to Hare Krishna mantra. And other devotees experience that even by composing their own prayers in the proper mood of the acharyas, that also helps them come back to the Hare Krishna mantra. The whole point is to come back to the Hare Krishna mantra. Just like there's so many mantras in the Bhagavad Gita. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam ashtaram tatas tato nayam yaita datmani vivishang niye. So these mantras and these prayers, they are also good. Someone would argue, why even study the Bhagavatam, all these mantras? We will just chant Hare Krishna 24 hours, like Haridas Thakur. There's no need to study the mantras of Bhagavatam. So why Prabhupada had us, he could have engaged us in doing 24-hour Hare Krishna Kirtan. Why did he give us so many books with so many different prayers in them? Just like the Nisringa prayers are also there. Prabhupada taught us to chant the Nisringa prayers. Why these other prayers are there? Because they help us come back to Hare Krishna mantra. That's why. Our minds are like little rascals, like naughty little children.
Mm-hmm.
We bring them to Hare Krishna, then they go running here, running there, running everywhere. You've seen in the evening class that Mangalmai. You put her in the lap, and immediately she runs, jumps, and goes running here, running there. You see? She cannot sit still. So the mind is like Mangalmai. You bring the mind to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But then it goes running here, running there, running, running, running. So these other mantras, they help. These other prayers, they help us. And even our own prayers, they can help us. If we pray in the right mood. We can pray, "My dear Lord, I'm trying to fix my mind on your holy name. My dear Lord, in your form of Lord Chaitanya, you have prayed that my mind has no attraction for the holy names. My dear Lord, I find that I am having that difficulty. My mind is not attracted to your holy names. So please, my dear Lord, help my mind come back to your holy names. Look at the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They are so many prayers. Kambe habe bolo se dinamar. Aparada gucci shudaname ruchi. Kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. Kambe habe bolo se dinamar. He sang, when my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine, when, oh when, will that day be mine? So see how Bhaktivinoda Thakura is teaching us how to pray, you see.
I couldn't translate
it. And then in the next verse he says, lower than a blade of grass.
They need time to translate. She's not as fluent as others, so she needs time.
Lower than a blade of grass. More tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all. Not expecting their honor. When in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh when, will that day be mine? So just see the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's calling out in great desperation, actually. And that when will I give up these offenses? When will I taste the pure nectar of the name? When will that day come to me? Oh, when will that day come to me? You see? So these prayers are there from our great acharyas. And we can learn how to pray in that mood. It's very good for our Krishna consciousness. It's not that we can simply sit 24 hours like Haridas Thakur. Our minds are restless. Our minds are agitated. They are not peaceful minds. So we should take the help of these great acharyas who are teaching us how to pray in a very, very nice way, you see. So our time is running over. We will stop here. Thank you very much. Kantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.